This is the Community Forum, a public affairs presentation of the Montrose Broadcasting Corporation. Welcome to the program. It's good to have you with us. Much of our listening area faces a special election choice this month. We will be voting in a primary election, but that same day, a special election for the 12th Congressional District has been scheduled. Tom Marino resigned early in the year, and now we have Fred Keller, the Republican, going up against Mark Friedenberg, a Democrat. This week, we'll talk to Representative Keller. We've invited Mr. Friedenberg to the program as well. Today, we talk to 85th District State Representative Fred Keller, who hopes to make that move up to Washington and become a congressman. Mr. Keller, thanks for being with us on the program today. Give me a little background as to why you get into public service in the first place, and then why you wanted to make this jump to Washington.
Okay, the public service, which is, I think, so important that, you know, as a benefactor of living in the United States and growing up in a country where you can achieve whatever you set your mind to doing is extraordinary. You know, if you look at the background, you know, I grew up a poor kid, and I know a lot of people say, well, we were poor and we didn't know it. It was clear to us, but we didn't let our government, we didn't let anybody else define us. We knew that if we went to school and got an education and worked, we could achieve our dreams, you know, what we wanted to do. And, you know, after high school, I got a job in a factory. I later managed the factory, started my own small business at the same time. My wife and I got married. I was 19, she was 20. We raised our family here in Central PA. And, you know, looking back at that, the opportunity that I had over my lifetime, you know, I'd always been interested in politics, even as a kid in school. 1980 with the Reagan, when he got elected the first time, I followed that campaign very closely, and then in 84 the first time I could vote for President Reagan. So I've always had the, you know, the sense of, you know, the importance of politics, but I thought it was very important that I give back to you know, take what our founders envisioned, you know, a government, you know, of the people. And that vision has been paid for by every generation of veterans since, and of course our active duty personnel now. And it's just, I look at it as a way for me to give back and make sure that everybody realizes that the American dream is alive and well, and that it should remain alive and well for generations to come.
Was this run for the 12th District something that was a long time, or at least some time coming, or was it because of the suddenness of the way it became available that something you said, hey, I'm grabbing the opportunity now?
What you look at, and, you know, I tell people, if you would have asked me 20 years ago or 15 years ago, would I have run for office? You know, I don't know that it was on my radar screen. You know, we're busy raising my family, you know, working and those kind of things. And, you know, I got elected to the General Assembly in 2010. And that was a really great experience, getting to know a lot of people in our communities and take their values to Harrisburg. And, you know, it's unfortunate that Congressman Marino, you know, had to resign. I think he was a good congressman, lifetime of service there from the congressman, you know, as a DA and a federal prosecutor and then congressman. So I think we should thank him for his service, you know, but when you look at it, we looked at what was happening and thought that, you know, the people of the 85th district in Pennsylvania's legislative district, you know, had the confidence in me to do the job and overwhelmingly reelect me because I did exactly what I said I was going to do. So when the congressman resigned, we took a look at it and thought that if I could be helpful, if I could serve the people of the 12th congressional district in Washington, D.C., just to do that, I thought that, you know, when you're called to do something, you know, you do it. And it's been a great experience. You know, campaigning across the 15 counties that make up the 12th congressional district, you look at what unites us, and the fact that, you know, they're intelligent, hardworking people that care about their communities and their families. And we should be looking at policies taking the input of those individuals to our government so that we can define the government we want to have, rather than the government defining its citizens.
And you represented a portion of our listenership for the last 9 years. In this seat, you would
have most of them, actually, except for the few that are in the next district over. But let's talk about some of the issues that will impact all of us in the next few years. Your campaign ad expresses positivity about the president. Do your thoughts on immigration mirror his?
Well, one thing I would say is, and I do positively, look at the president and what has happened over the past few years. And, you know, I look at this and, you there's some people that while the president may be unconventional in how he gets some things done, you know, when you're putting America's interests first and you're about what's important to the families of the 12th Congressional District in our country, and that is, making sure that our children and our families have good paying jobs and are trained for the jobs that are coming up. So being positive about the president's agenda is because, being elected by Americans, by Pennsylvanians, we should be putting America's interests first and making sure we're listening to the people and enacting policies that will improve every American life. Now, as far as the border, I think the immigration problems we have are more than just one thing. And one thing I would say about that is we do need to make sure that we understand the people that are immigrating into the United States and know who they are, because public safety is a responsibility of government. And if that means that we need to have a wall on our southern border, then we should build a wall on our southern border. But I think it means a lot more than that. It also means more boots on the ground. It means technology. It means taking a look at our visa program for workers. A lot of things that we need to take a look at in a comprehensive way that hasn't been done. I mean, this was promised to have been done back when President Reagan was in office, and it never got completed for generations. And I think that Congress needs to start working on solutions that will matter and that will make a difference for everybody, putting America's interests first, but also being compassionate to those that want to come into our country.
And I know as state representative, you've expressed your thoughts on legalizing recreational marijuana to me. As far as the view from Washington, the federal prohibition of that, Pennsylvania could be added there. What from Washington, what would you say should be the federal government's take on it?
Well, there's a lot of things that you take a look at when it comes to legalizing marijuana for recreational purposes. As you know, I was one of those for medical cannabis. I did support that, because if you're looking at what that entailed and some of the chemicals that could be used that to help kids with seizures and people with seizures and things like that, we need to do that. Recreational use of marijuana, I think, is not a path we should go down. And I know a lot of people have been putting it out there as a way to raise money. And if we are now looking at public policy based upon how the government can raise money versus the overall benefits to our society, I think we're on a dangerous slope. So, anything for recreational use of marijuana, I think, is a mistake.
Income inequality, we've heard a lot about that in recent years. Potentially the candidate running against the president next year could be Bernie Sanders. And we've heard a lot from him. Your thoughts on dealing with that? Is it a congressional job? Is it something we can do? There's become a huge gap between the haves and the have-nots.
Well, I think there's two things when you talk about haves and have-nots and income inequality. And here again, our system of government is the best system there is in the world, where we look at how we can enact policies that benefit everybody and allow people to reach their full potential. Income inequality, again, I think we need to make sure that when we're looking at jobs and employment, that we look at people's ability to do the job. It should not matter to anyone, whether it's a man or a woman or your background as far as race or gender or any of those things, or how you express yourself. We should be looking to set up policies that reward people based upon the ability and the competence in which they do their jobs. So those are things that I think we really need to look at when we talk about what policies would be the responsibility of the government.
I think we can all agree that freedom of speech is a good thing, but for instance, I can't go out and yell fire in the crowded movie theater, as is the typical thing we hear. I can't really legally shout racial epithets at my neighbor. When it comes to the Second Amendment, though, we seem to think that this is absolute. What are your thoughts on that? Are there pieces of legislation that could make us safer, that could make our kids in school safer?
Well, I think the thing that we need to look at when we talk about the Second Amendment, and the Second Amendment, Article 1, Section 21 of Pennsylvania's Constitution, Article 1, Section 21 says that the right to bear arms in defense of oneself or the state shall not be questioned. And of course, then we have, you know, the Second Amendment of the United States Constitution, which the Second Amendment of the Constitution, quite frankly, protects all the other amendments. Because if you take away people's ability to make sure that they can keep their government in check, I think it's dangerous. And that's part of what a well-regulated militia means. So when you look at the Second Amendment, I think we need to start focusing on people's acts and not the instrument which they use to perpetrate violence on or harm on another individual. There's might be a lot of talking points about the Second Amendment. We already do have laws for people that are permitted to purchase firearms, if they've committed certain crimes or if they've had certain issues. And I would just encourage people to look at the state police, the Pennsylvania State Police background check system. There are things in place to try and keep firearms out of the hands of people that have displayed that they aren't responsible with that right. Every right has a responsibility, just like the freedom of speech, the right to keep and bear arms. There's responsibilities that go along with that. And, when people determine that they haven't been responsible with those rights, then there are repercussions for that. But just to call for amendments to the changing the Second Amendment, I don't agree with that. We have rights. That's a right for every law-abiding citizen to keep and bear arms, and I don't think we need to mess with it.
But there was a ban on bump stocks this year. Is that something that we should not have addressed?
Well, I'd say the bump stock really isn't the firearm, you know. So I'm going to go there and say that, you know, the bump stock wasn't the firearm. So we can take a look at that and hash that out. But you know, people don't own fully automatic weapons unless they have the permit from the federal government to do so. So there again, I'm not calling for a ban on any classes of firearms. I think the laws that we have now are sufficient, and I would not think that we need to do anything to abridge anybody's Second Amendment rights.
So how do we make our kids safer in school? And this isn't something that's like 20 years ago was Columbine. This isn't the only time it's happened, obviously.
It isn't. And again, I think there's some school safety initiatives, and I've demonstrated that through my time in the General Assembly, putting resources to making sure our schools are safe. Certainly banning firearms from everybody else isn't going to make someone safe. I think you need to take a look at how you secure places where our children are. And I've voted to put resources to doing that. Again, if somebody's going to banning a firearm and taking it from legally qualified people that can own them doesn't solve the problem, because a lot of times there's been some indicators when these people commit these crimes that people should have been looking at. So. Banning firearms doesn't solve the problem. We had a ban on semi-automatic firearms back, I think, from 1994 to 2004. And there, you know, if you look at the studies and things that happened, it didn't really move the needle.
As a new congressman in Washington, there's not a lot of pull you can have until you've been there a while. But when you get to the point where you can kind of drive the agenda a little more, what would you say would be the most important issue that you hope to tackle in D.C.?
Well, you know, just starting off, being the person that comes in the middle of in a special election, being the least senior member, I think the first thing you need to do is it'd be how you handle yourself and how you behave to get things done. You know, I think a lot of things that we need to look at are things that are important to the people of the 12th Congressional District. And that is, you know, the things I would want to make sure that we work on are policies that keep our economy strong, that put America's interests first, you know, around the globe. And also, you know, the skills gap is one of those things that we take a look at. There's a lot of jobs available. And the thing that we need to wrap our arms around and make sure we understand and address is that, you know, while going to college is extremely important, but we need talent from many different avenues. So I think we need to work on making sure that people understand that, you know, for some people, it's a college, a four-year college degree or more of that. But for some people, it might be a trades job, or it might be a certificate or some other kind of method of training for something they might want to do and be successful. So I think we need to make sure we're including, you know, we talk about inclusion and making sure that we have, you know, diversity. That also includes with the people that are coming into the workforce, and that we embrace the importance of every job that is out there and needs to be done. And we look at respect, you know, respecting all the trades and bringing everybody together to say, this is what provides for a good community is the variety of jobs that are available. Make sure people understand that there's not only one pathway to success, but many.
Congress has two-year terms. Should that remain? Should that change? Should it be limited?
You know, that's been talked about a lot. You know, every time somebody talks about that, that was designed so that the people that represent the people's house are close to the people. And I don't have a problem with a two-year term. You know, if you look at what happens, actually, when our republic was founded, senators were elected by the state legislatures. And the Congress was elected by the people, and they were closest to the people, and that's why they had a two-year term. I'm okay with that staying at a two-year term, because it makes sure that we're out in front of the public continually, so that they can see us, they can ask questions, we can be available. I've done that in the Pennsylvania General Assembly, and if I'm fortunate enough to have the good people of the 12th Congressional District send me to Washington, I would behave the same way.
Okay. A lot of people talk about their congressmen, you know, going and kind of forgetting about them and just sticking to their party. You know, how can we be sure you will be concerned about us as opposed to allegiance to a party, no matter what they do?
Well, I think when you look at anything, you know, past performance is a pretty good indicator of future behavior. And if you look at how I've behaved as a state legislator and represented the people of Pennsylvania's 85th legislative district, when I tell people I was taking our values to Harrisburg, I was serious about it. That's what I did. Again, I intend on behaving the same way if I'm fortunate enough to be sent to Washington, D.C. You know, we were talking a little bit here earlier about the first time you interviewed me back in 1995. And that was when our son was the miracle kid for Geisinger. And here's how I can assure you that people don't sway my mind from doing the right thing. Our son was the miracle kid in 1995, because in 1994, he was not supposed to live. He was 3 years old. And when he was first in the hospital, you know, we were told, you know, when are you going to disconnect him from life support? And we went through all that stuff. And, you know, initially we were praying, Lord, heal him, make him better. Probably 2 weeks into that, we got down on our knees next to his bed. And we said, Lord, Freddie's been a gift for you for the last 3 years. We have been selfish asking for our will. We love him. We want you to do what is right for him. We trust you enough that we love him enough to let him go. If it's your will, please take him. I got on my knees and I prayed that prayer, and I meant it. If I can stand and sit and face that, there isn't anybody in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, or Washington, D.C., or any place else that is going to make me do something I don't think is correct.
Fred Keller, congressman candidate for the 12th Congressional District of Pennsylvania, has been our guest on the program. Thanks for joining us, Mr. Keller.
Thank you. I appreciate it. And thank you to all the people listening. If I might just put a plug in that on May 21st is a special election for the 12th Congressional District seat. So independents, Republicans, Democrats, everybody is able to get out and vote and make your voice heard on May 21st. Thank you.
This has been a presentation of the Montrose Broadcasting Corporation. The views expressed on the community forum by our guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect those of the moderator, staff, or management of this station.